Community Development Block Grant CDBG Program.
Trey, you got 5 minutes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. This is the time and place for a public hearing on the Community Development Block Grant Program. We're going to hear a presentation from Mr. Whaley and Ms. Nauman concerning the proposal and the allocation. After that time, there will be an opportunity for the council to ask questions, and subsequent to that, it will be opened up so the public can comment on it. Mr. Whaley.
Good morning, and I'd like to thank the council for allowing us to hold a public hearing today. I was lucky enough to have our staff present today. I would like to introduce them. We have Brandy Nauman. She's our housing coordinator and our fair housing compliance officer. Mike Jones, who's project manager for us. Guillermo Montalvo, who's the project manager. Dale McDowell, who's been with us for many years, also a project manager. And Nicole Reddick, who is our kind of do-everything person in the office. But our department applies for and administers community development block grant funding. And these funds come down, in our case, Kent and Sussex counties aren't entitlements, so we can't ask HUD directly for funding. So in our case, the Delaware State Housing Authority applies for that funding, and then we apply on the behalf of both the towns and the county for that funding. Typically, we've been receiving, it varies between $1.2 and $1.7 million per year to help with this type of thing, and we've been doing this for quite some time. This year, there should be about $2 million in CDBG funding and possibly some other home money that we can use. These funds are specifically for housing-related issues, which include providing safe and affordable housing and living conditions. Historically, we've used these fundings for housing repairs, demolition, sewer and water hookups, and emergency home repairs. And the main reason we hold a public hearing, it is a requirement in order to do an application, but the main reason we hold it is so we can get input from residents and council members on the upcoming application, and we'll go over that in a few minutes. I would like to just go over, if we could, we did hold a citizen participation forum out at the West Complex. We've done that for 3 years now. It's kind of a little bit less formal atmosphere, and people can discuss the issues that are concerning them. We can go on to the next slide. Over the past 5 years, the county has been awarded $7.1 million in community development block grant and home funding, and we've been able to assist 849 households, 1,365 total residents. And you'll see this kind of goes back to when we started being able to record this with the Excel. So it's going to be an on-running, you'll be able to see the amount of funding we've received in these are the towns. So you can go right down and see over the last 7 years, the Blades has received $128,000, almost all for housing rehab. Bridgeville's received funding for both housing and demolition. Georgetown, for example, had a large infrastructure project that we worked on. It was a sidewalk project over by the school. If we could go to the next slide, it'll show the rural communities. Now we have scattered site, which is just everybody that's living outside of the either the incorporated towns or what we call targeted areas, which are on the right. You'll be able to see the amount of funding that we've used. We've received over $1.4 million for housing rehab. $388,000 for sewer and water hookups, demolition, emergency home repair. And then you can see what each community has received. So we've tracked this pretty well over the years. We could go to the next one. The current year, the year that we just finished that we can track everything on was 2015. And we received $1,360,799. We were able to assist 127 low to moderate income households. Of these households, 78% had income below 50% of AMI, and 50% had incomes below 30%. 55% of the occupants were elderly, 42% had disabilities, 65% were female head of household, and 66% were minorities or minority households. Now, on that number, you'll see at the bottom, the Housing Authority and HUD make us track Section 3, women, business enterprises, minority business enterprises and veteran business enterprises. So about 70% of the funding we use goes to contractors that fall into one of those three groups. The Section 3 tracks the income of the actual workers, so you can see that this funding is helping, it helps the homeowner, helps the supplier, helps the contractors, and in many cases it helps workers that have income in this guideline.
The current year that we're working on, this is exactly what we've received from the SHA this year. So Coverdale, we received $60,000. We've expended about 83% of that, and it goes right down. Laurel, we received 105, and 18% has been used. Milton, Pinetown, Ellendale, Seaford. Can we go on? Pretty much you can see things are pretty well under control. We've got the funding allocations going good. What we do is we write up in, Mike and Guillermo and sometimes myself and Dale, we constantly write up jobs, and then we hold bid meetings once a month, the first Friday of every month. We put out anywhere from 10 to 14, 16 houses. So contractors come in, they bid on the work, they bid on the specifications, and then we get that under contract. If you go to the next slide. I'd like Mike Jones to come up to go over some of these. These are projects that he managed for us.
Good morning.
Morning.
Just showing you some of the things we do. This is the town of Subville, right into the town of Subville. And like I've told to the council previous times, is we don't just work on the house. We work on the house that's there, but so many times we incorporate the whole neighborhood changes. And this is a house here in town that we did so much on. If you can see next slide, Brandy, what we did. That's what it turned into. And when you do, you take a house like you just seen to this, the neighbors that were okay, now they look at, they're not okay no more. Now they fix their own homes up. And then we see this numerous times, movers, towns, communities, whatever. The next slide, Brandy. This is in Coverdale. It's a single wide mobile home, a family. It's like I see so many times, it's grandparents raising grandkids because one reason or another. And then I come back and we did some work on the house, and that's what we brought it up to. Bring so much pride to the community, pride for the family. They actually went inside the house on their own and did a lot of work themselves because we did most of our stuff outside. And it just the whole area that around that mobile home right there has come up because of what we've done. We're in Pinetown here. This is a single family, an elderly lady, and we went to this here for her, and she was tickled to death. In a lot of houses we did back before we had a whole lot of inspection and stuff, nobody insulated anything. So a lot of times I can wrap these houses in foam and give some R value there and actually bring the house up between the windows and doors and make it so it's livable. They can actually heat the house down. This house is Seaford, old lady. This is a lady, she's the grandmother of the whole neighborhood. It's a North Front Street there in Seaford. And when I got done with her, it turned into that. And this affected two or three houses on both sides of her on the street there in Seaford. It was an amazing job, and the neighbors would stop me while I was out inspecting the work and thank me for helping this one person because she was so thought of.
Are these owner-occupied?
Yes, they are.
They have to be, right? They have to be?
Yep, yes.
So landlord-owned properties?
No, we can't do that. We don't do any landlord.
And is there, these are great-looking. I mean, the pictures do 1,000 words or whatever. Are they restricted as opposed to putting it right back on the market, like you see on TV, flipping the house real quick.
No. We have to put a lien on the property. If they're older than 62, it's a 5-year lien. If they're younger than 62, it's a 10-year lien.
So they can sell it.
But they can sell it, but have to pay back some of the money back. It's a prorated lien.
So that's back in the program for the year.
Oh, okay, good, okay.
Anyway, sometimes it does. This is just outside of town of Bridgeville. This is one of the houses that was not insulated at all. It's able to go in the attic of this house, this insulation, and insulate the outside, and that's what he turned it into. We got done. And they were able to stay in their home. This is an outside house here in Pinetown. It's an elderly lady. The ramp don't look as bad right there, but the sides were falling off. And when you get up to the decking, it was falling through. We did this for her, and she was tickled to death. It's right in the main street of Pinetown there. We did a lot of outside. This is going inside. This is right here in Georgetown. A gentleman had a stroke and went to the hospital for in rehab. When he came back, his roof had leaked. His ceilings had fell in. His cabinets fell off the wall. He'd made a little makeshift sink over there in the corner and tried to get by until we were able to get there to help him. And then we did this for him, brought it back, and he's very appreciative about that. It's right here in the town. This is a really cool thing. This is happening as we speak right now. We're not completely done with this job. This is a gentleman, he's about 19 years old. He got an automobile accident and paralyzed from the neck down. Of course, this brings a whole lot to your family that you have to take care of now. So we built a ramp for him to get in and out of the house. But the other problem is taking a shower. In most all houses, we don't have room for that. We end up taking a part of another bedroom and incorporating a bathroom. And we're actually working on this as we speak now and have it so we can wheel the wheelchair right into the bathroom and take the shower. Right now, he's actually going on the back porch in the weather. So this is something that is tremendous that come our way. It's in Edgewater Estates there in this side of Lewis. But this is a little bit examples of people that I tell them, because I'm at the house with them, and I get to see it. I get the praises of everything he's done. But you guys get the praises because it's one for the council. This stuff wouldn't be done. So thank you.
Thank you.
And this is another good example. The county council has given us emergency funding over the years to help with this type of thing. And that's how we were able to do this. We have gotten funding from the state. We asked for emergency funding. Like this year, we got $60,000 to offset the county funding. That's going to go away, actually. We're not going to be able to have any state emergency funding. The three counties and we did apply for, they had a $500,000 statewide grant, and we applied, but it didn't come to the counties. Let's go on to the next one. In order to qualify, these are guidelines that HUD set. So the household has to have an income that's under 80% of area median income. So the bottom line, you'll see that we verify the income for the household, and it starts out at about $34,650, and it goes up about $5,000 per additional family member. So a house of six would have to have an income of under 57, must be owner-occupied. The house must be insured or insurable, taxes must be current, and then we do place a lien on the property to secure that funding. What we're doing, we're putting together our applications. This is our 12th public hearing of the year. So we've been to all these communities. We've discussed what they would like to apply for. In every case, they would like housing rehabilitation, so that's our main goal. And you'll see the difference in numbers kind of indicates the difference in waiting list sizes we have in those towns. So some of the larger towns like Laurel and Seaford have bigger waiting lists. If we could go to the next one.
Back to the local fund or local match, that meant the not the county's match, but the local town.
The local town, yeah. The only time they're required to match is for an infrastructure project. And they're required to match either 10, depending on the size, either 10 or 20% of that. So when Georgetown does a $200,000 infrastructure, they match.
So they're only matching when it's required.
When it's required.
When it's not required, they're not matching.
They're not matching, no.
Okay. Wouldn't hurt to probably try to encourage some of those towns if they have the financial ability, because when you see these pictures and what they're doing for the town and helping their tax base,
they do.
We should be encouraging them to make local matches, because we do, right?
Yes. Yeah, right, the county matches. We have administration funding to go. This is our request on the non-town side, non-town and city side. Mm-hmm. We're asking for $399,000 for housing rehabilitation. That other fund there is a small USDA grant that we apply for. It used to be $20,000, just kind of whittling down a little bit. So that's where that's coming from. We're requesting money to do four demos. We're requesting, we are going to put the emergency funding in there, but I know it's not going to be funded. Scattered sewer and water hookups, we do this when the new systems go in to help residents. And then we'd like to help the rural communities of Cool Springs, Coverdale, Mount Joy, and Dagsboro, rural Millsboro. We've been working with the Sussex Housing Group for a couple years now. And what it does, it's a group of, I have the First Aid Community Action, the Delaware State Housing Authority, the Delaware HUD Office, Habitat for Humanity, Milford Housing, WSFS Bank, Discover Bank, Health and Social Services, and several other groups. We actually focused on the Pinetown community this year. The county was able to come in and get streetlights in. We did, over a couple years, we did about, I think it was about 12 housing rehabs, and it really made a big difference in the community. It kind of picked it up. So this year they'd like to do the Mount Joy community, so that's why the request is high for the Mount Joy area. Okay, can we go to the next? Hmm? Oh, yeah, the total grant. Now, as I said in the beginning, there's only a little bit over $2 million available for Kent and Sussex, but our total application request is in excess of what they have. So historically, we asked for it. They will form a review panel, and they'll determine where the funding is going to go. And just before we close or take questions, I'd like to go over the county council has given us emergency repair funding, and this is how we've been able to use it over the years. This year, we received $150,000. And we've been able to help 43 households with that. We've expended about 85% of that right now. We tried to prioritize that to houses that have no running water, no heat, handicap accessibility, extremely leaking roofs, electrical and plumbing issues, and we also try to help citizens with disabilities, individuals that are over 65, very low-income households, and veteran households, which was a request. Just to see how the funding that we've used from the county council is broken down, we now track it by ramps. As you can see, the biggest single thing is busted pipes. If we have several days of freezing weather, we're going to get a lot of calls about pipes, and it's usually an elderly lady, the light bulb burn out, and so we help where we can. Nine ramps. Is that it? I'd just like to thank you for your support. Like I said, we do a lot of public hearings each year. I talk to a lot of town managers and mayors, and they do appreciate this. This is a service the county does for the local town. This is a very burdenous process. There's a lot of regulations that are required to meet, so it's much easier for us to do it than the individual towns.
Are there any questions from council?
Maybe you ought to put some sidewalks out here on the way to middle school in Georgetown. I noticed a lot of those kids are walking along the road.
Okay.
And they can't get up down the highway because of
on the highway.
You can't get on the highway for people walking on it.
Okay.
And for kids walking on it.
It's in the town limits of Georgetown.
Yes, they moved town limits right to Georgetown, out to the radio station now.
Okay. I can talk with Gene about that, if that would be something they'd be interested in.
Do other states do this?
Yes.
So this is a...
This is a nationwide program. The Community Development Block Grant funding, it's very useful. It's a block grant, so it comes to the state, and you actually kind of choose on the local level how you use these funds. Our office has been doing it for over 25 years.
So you know what's coming at you, and then you request that much money?
We have an idea. We have an idea what the allocation is. Typically, it runs in a three-year cycle. The one we're in right now runs from 15 to 18, so the SHA has a good idea how much money's coming.
And then they apply for a new roof or a new ramp or whatever?
The homeowners apply to us. We maintain waiting lists of every town. We have... Every rural community, we probably have 14 rural communities, so we have people that have been waiting for this help. And then that's where the emergency fund comes in handy, because when we get that, we can, typically it's like a first come, first serve. So you put your name on the list. It may take us several years to get to you, but the emergency funding gives us the ability to kind of take care of that situations before they get too bad.
Share with Mr. Burton how long the waiting list is.
The countywide waiting list on the rural areas is right about 900. We have about 900
people.
That's
just the county.
Just the county is 900. And then there's in the towns and the rural communities, we have about an additional 300 to 300 people waiting. So we have about 1,200 people waiting for this funding.
5 to 7 years, probably.
Yeah. It can take that long.
It's a 5 to 7 year waiting list.
It can take that long, yes.
Incredible.
One question to the council.
Go ahead, George. No, I'm just going to say... got a couple of comments. Like I think my when we go to the SNACO thing, which is the National Association of Counties, my understanding is there's been some of this federal money is at risk, right? And they every year they're talking because they're out of money over there, so they're looking at ways to cut, and they've talked about cutting this program. and you also mentioned state funding's state emergency funding is could be ending. So there's two things that could be a double whammy on Sussex County as we go forward. I would like just to encourage the county that we've been very successful with emergency funding. We saw where we did 300,000 one year, and we helped 111 people when there's a 900 waiting list, etc. We had an impact. We did 150. I think it's a very excellent program. If we could just target rehabs more so than infrastructure, I just think the benefits of rehab are outstanding. So and I'm glad to hear that everything's owner-occupied and landlords don't benefit, these other things. So anyway, that's it, basically.
All that.
Quickly, I know that I had a phone call. I think your slide showed 85%, and I think I had a call a couple days ago from somebody over at the State Housing down near Roxana there, and I think that there was a a homeowner whose electrical pole had come down. Not sure why. Are you aware of that call?
Yes, I am. I got the call. Yeah,
okay.
I do have that.
Because I wasn't sure if she mentioned that that they had connected, but I guess it was mentioned that we have no funding and then there's no power, no electricity. I mean, it's like, I'm just trying to get a quote on,
right,
on what's the number here.
Right.
So, but beyond that, contractors. I mean, we have 900 people in the unincorporated areas in this county. Do we look at, are the contractors that are selected, I know that 70% or fall within those three categories you mm-hmm. mentioned, but do we also look at what percent of their business is this, i.e. is it a small percent, i.e. they have a bigger company and they're doing a lot of other things, i.e. we have some amazing contractors in this county that have big hearts,
right,
and do a lot for their community. I mean, they nonprofit, I mean, not just nonprofit, but I mean, just go step up and take care of a real need. Do you have a list of those contractors when there's real needs out there in the community? I mean, desperation scenarios, and we are out of public dollars. Is there a bucket of contractors, you know, hey, Joe, hey, whomever, we really could use your help on this? Do we have that at all?
I don't. Our contractors are smaller. We don't have the big developer type contractors. They're mostly mom and pop type.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably have about 20 registered with our office. I'm sure almost any one of them, if it was an emergency, would
be easy to reach out, because there's contractors with the calls.
Oh, there's tons.
There's the
yeah.
Sussex County Association of Contractors. There's a State Association of Contractors. Mm-hmm. So I would think, you know, reaching out to see if they'd want a partnership with this effort might really be beneficial.
I think absolutely. Now, that was my whole point of the question, was if we have the ability to reach out to the private sector and even give them some kudos, somehow some mechanism of PR or something, I don't know, but I think that we could probably shorten that list of 900, I would think, very easily, even if we challenged our partners in this community to do 100 a year, as an example, on top of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come up with a number. I think we ought to consider that. It's somehow reaching out to our private sector partners and seeing how they could get involved and be of benefit. Because I think if they were aware of it, again, there's a lot of fundraisers going on in the private sector for their own buckets of people. I think we could actually be a greater benefit to the residents of this county if we were to do that.
Okay, we'll take that into consideration.
Even lawyers.
Yeah,
they do a lot of pro bono work.
Questions or comments from council?
Sure, it's not. Then at this time, is there any member of the public here today that would like to speak on this issue? Is there any member of the public that would like to speak? And seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
We'll close the public hearing. And does someone have a motion? Ms. Brandy.
I get that. Good morning. So I have two resolutions, actually. The first one is the authorization to submit applications. Be it known, the Sussex County Council resolves to apply for community development funds from the Delaware State Housing Authority in accordance with the appropriate regulations governing community development block grants for the State of Delaware Community Development Block Grant Program. And whereas the County Administrator Todd F. Lawson is hereby authorized to certify that matching funds in excess of $165,000 will be made available upon the approval by the Delaware State Housing Authority. Be it further resolved by the Sussex County Council that Todd F. Lawson, County Administrator, is hereby authorized to submit the fiscal year 2017 Community Development Block Grant applications with all understandings and certifications contained therein to the Delaware State Housing Authority.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
I will, yes. Motion carried. Next, ma'am.
Okay, last one, the Fair Housing Resolution. Whereas the Sussex County Council recognizes the importance of fair housing for the citizens of Sussex County, and whereas the Sussex County Council supports the goals of the state and federal fair housing laws, now therefore be it resolved that the Sussex County Council heartily encourages all parties involved in the renting, selling, or financing of housing in Sussex County to ensure that no person shall, on the grounds of race, color, national origin, religion, handicap or disability, creed, sex, marital status, familial status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity, be discriminated against or denied a fair and equal opportunity for housing. And be it further resolved that the Sussex County Council, when acting as administrator of a community block grant, is hereby authorized to take such actions as deemed necessary to affirmatively further fair housing in connection with applying for the community development block grant funding.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
All things.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Thank you very much. And while, Brad, while you and your staff are here, on behalf of Council, thank you very much for all you do for our citizens.
I mean, thank you.
You look at these pictures, it's great. You're helping communities, you're helping people. It's got to bring everybody, got to, you know, the tide raises all the boats around here, so it's a good thing. But thank you all you do for us. We appreciate it.
That's right.
Grant request, Ms. Jennings.
Morning, Mr. President, members of Council. I have two grants for your consideration. The first one is the Trinity Foundation is requesting $500 for their Heart and Soul 5K that benefits Nanticoke Health Services. Funds from this event will purchase non-invasive monitoring systems for cardiac patients. Last grant received was $250 from Councilman Vincent.
Somebody make a motion for $500.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second,
Mr. Burton, to grant $500 from my council bank account to Trinity Foundation for purchase of medical equipment for Nanticoke Hospital. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. The next one is Friends of Sussex Court Appointed Special Advocate Program, otherwise known as CASA. They are requesting $500 to support their volunteer training. The CASA program is for abused and neglected children in foster care. CASA is charged with representing the best interests of the children and is full party to court proceedings. The Friends program is made up of volunteers who ensure that the voices of these children are heard. There have been no past grants. Councilman Burton places on the agenda, but this program qualifies for a countywide youth grant.
Mr. Burton?
My recommendation would be for the countywide youth grant.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett, to grant $500 to Sussex CASA for annual volunteer training. Allen Countywide Youth Grant. Questions on the motion?
Yes, just very quickly. I think it's these are children that are already in the foster care system, or because of an incident, they're going into the foster care program.
Well, it's the training for the volunteers
that are helping
people that are
go
in
to court with these people. Probably right,
exactly.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's a great. That's great.
Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I will get motion carried. Council member comments? Council member comments. Entertain a motion to go to executive session for land acquisition, personnel, and job applicants qualifications. Motion. Motion, Mr. Burton?
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Questions on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I believe yes. We're now at executive session for land acquisition, personnel, and job applicants.